Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 4 for today's study of study number 28. This Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study 28, Godly Edifying. Now let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us, Lord, to realize and know today that this is divine work, God, that you've got for us to do. I pray we might declare the word of God as we wish we had. We stand in the judgment. Touch hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 4, we will have our number 28 study. And this is what the Bible said. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. In our last study, which was study number 27, we looked at the words which minister questions. In this study, which is study number 28, we will study the words godly edifying. So far, we've looked at the word heed, the word fables, the words endless genealogies, and the words minister questions in this verse number 4. We will now proceed to move on further into this verse and talk about the phrase godly edifying. In this verse 4, let me summarize and remind you of what we see and have learned thus far in this verse. Paul said to not give heed to fables and endless genealogies in verse 3. Paul said to warn the believers not to teach any other doctrine but what they had been taught by the Apostle Paul and established in the church as divine fact. The doctrine that Paul was teaching was the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. Anything but this would only generate questions, and Paul knew that, that would divide the minds and the hearts of the church and get them off the beaten path that they had been established on. Amen. Now, Paul knew that anything else but what had already been taught would not bring godly edifying, or it would not glory and give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the word rather here. He said, in other words here, it would do the opposite of that. It would not edify, but it would bring down. Now, I want to add this into this lesson before we get started. When I was a young man growing up, we never heard much about family trees and ancestry. All family history was stored in the family Bible and written by some of the family members handed down from one generation to another. It's been in the past few years that people have started majoring on their DNA and their ancestry. It appears that almost everyone wants to know where they come from and to know their roots and where they got started at. Some even spend their time searching and searching, almost to the point that they eat and breathe it. This has become a big part in their lives. That is the thing that Paul was trying to head off in the church and keep from happening in the assembly. These Jews wanted to run their ancestry and find their tribes and get those things straightened out. And of course, the records is all destroyed in 70 AD, and they couldn't really do all that. But so they get hung up on all of it. Now, ancestry is something that you can become obsessed with, especially today, with all the technical devices and the means of research we have. That is why Paul called it endless genealogies. It would be great if people became obsessed with where they were going when this world, or when this life is over in this world, and where they're going, when they die. Amen. Than it is to where they come from. Now, Paul is telling us in this verse that what we say and what we do should be to edify or lift up and not to minister or generate questions that detour the heart away from the things of God. We want to look at four words found in this scripture, or that pertains to this scripture, I guess I should say, in verse number 4. These words are the word edify, the word edified, the word edifying, and the word edification. The word edify simply means to enlighten, to inform, to educate, to instruct, to improve on, or to teach. Now, the word edify is mentioned three times in the New Testament. The first place it's mentioned is found in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19. And God said, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Here we're to follow after the things that will help us lift up each other and not ourselves. In our day, this is not something that's very prominent. It's not something that is practiced. It seems that we're too jealous of one another to lift up one another in anything. To lift up each other is the same as to build up each other in the faith. This is something we need to work on in the church, amen, if we possibly can. It's easier to tear down and destroy and hurt somebody than it is to build up each other. The second time that the word edify is mentioned is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 23. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." Paul said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." Paul is telling us here in this verse that there's a lot of things that he could do that would not be wrong, but these things in particular would not lift up or edify the church, the believers, or the Lord. Some things are not sinful to do, but they'll keep us from lifting up and building up the things of the Lord. We should refrain from such things as that. The third time that the word edify is mentioned is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 11. "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Again, we're to lift up one another. Selfishness is to be thrown to the side and gotten rid of in our spiritual life when it comes to our fellowship and the advancement of the church. Now, the word edifying is mentioned 8 times in the scriptures. The first three times that this word edifying is mentioned is in the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul is giving instructions on the use of tongues in the church. He's telling them that they are to edify the church. Our edification should be to the church, to the believers, or to the Lord. We should never edify ourselves because we're nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. It seemed that there were some edifying themselves concerning their gifts and the use of those gifts. These three references are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 5, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. In the Corinthian church, they were uplifting their abilities and the gifts that they had instead of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. This word edifying is also mentioned in 2 Corinthians 12:19, Ephesians 4:12, Ephesians 4:16, and Ephesians 4:29, and also in our text verse, 1 Timothy 1:4. All these are references to the edifying of the church. The word edification is mentioned 4 times in the scriptures. The references are Romans chapter 15 and verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14:3, 2 Corinthians 10:8, and 2 Corinthians 13:10. All of these references are speaking of lifting up the church, lifting up the believers, or lifting up the Lord. All 4 of these words, edify, edified, edifying, and edification, are New Testament words, and all of these words are used by the Apostle Paul. The word edified is mentioned 2 times in the scriptures. These references are found in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 17. Notice that Paul puts another word in front of this word edifying in this verse. It's the word godly. Our edification or edifying should be godly edifying. The word godly simply means religious. It means devout. It means holy or saintly. The word godly is mentioned 15 times in the Word of God. We will mention a few of them in this study. In verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we find the first one, and it's called the godly sincerity, or that's what I've called it. Now he said, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity," you see that? Godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, "but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward." You see, this means that our life is to demonstrate a seriousness in all that we do. Sincerity means genuineness. It means honesty. It means seriousness. It means earnestness or authenticity. Our walk, our talk, and our daily conduct is to be sincere and not a put-on. There are too many in our day, in our churches at the same time. They have a put-on. They're not real. They're not genuine. They're not authentic. These can't build up or lift up the church. Now, there's a godly manner found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 9. Now, I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed in repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Now, manner here means way. It means mode. It means method. It means style, conduct, or behavior. Our behavior then, before a lost and dying world, is to be a good behavior or a godly behavior, if you will, and we ought to have a godly manner about us. We are to conduct ourselves in a godly or a holy manner. Now, there's what we find, the godly sorrow found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Sorrow means unhappiness, regret, sad, or distress. This godly sorrow is necessary and needful when it comes to our salvation. No one has ever gotten saved or forgiven without a regret or a sorry for the breaking of the laws of God. Godly sorrow is necessary for repentance and the forgiveness of our sins. There's a godly jealousy found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Jealousy means envy, covetousness, resentment, or suspicion. Jealousy is what I call the greed-eyed monster that gets into our lives and ruins our testimony if it's allowed to grow and mature in our hearts. There's a godly edifying here found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. Edifying means to lift up, to magnify. Here it's to lift up the church, the believer, or the Lord. There's a godly living in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is also found in Titus 2:12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. These verses teach and tell us that we are to live holy lives before a lost and dying world. Matthew describes godly living in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There is a godly fear found in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 12. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This word here, fear, means dread, horror, fright, panic, alarm, concern, or worry. We're to live with the fear of God in our heart, and we're to learn to live with fear and honor God in our living. There's a godly deliverance found in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to deliver us from every temptation, from every trial, from every tribulation that we're placed into or subjected to in our Christian life. I'm glad that God knows how to deliver me. I'm glad that God has delivered me many times, and I'm glad that I've seen the hand of God do that in my life, and I'm sure you've seen the very same thing. So it's important that we have godly edification, to lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to exalt and lift up the church, and to exalt and lift up the born-again believer. Now, we hope this lesson, number 28, has been a blessing. I hope it's been an encouragement, and I hope it's been a help to your soul. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to let it soak into your soul and stir up your life and change it. If you want to learn more about our ministry, just go to the Google, and when you get on Google, type in these three words, Pastor Dennis Deals, and follow the leads. Now, that's Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, and Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, and Deals, D-I-L-L-S. Follow those leads, and we'd like to hear from you. God bless you is my prayer. Amen and amen.